Nothing, just an incident.
That's what you get when you don't leave the space.
I am stupid. I am stupid.
Get in there, Lewis.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Fan Behavior and F1 Podcast. I'm Zoe. I'm back with Hannah.
Hi.
Wow. What a week in Formula One.
What a week. A happier week.
A happier week in some ways, yes. Mm-hmm. A more just like, a more, I don't want to say the wrong word, 'cause I don't want to say it's more fun, but I just feel like this was a week, and I think Martin Brundle, someone else said it in the broadcast, like mm-hmm. this was needed for Formula One.
Yeah, it was refreshing.
And I think, and I agree. Now, it is funny that the only person we had that won a race other than Red Bull last year was Carlos, and now it is Carlos again, mm-hmm. which is great, but we still have not had any, it's been either Carlos or Red Bull for the last almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But obviously grateful for it because yes. these things don't come around very often.
No, they do not.
We have so much to get into this week.
Yeah.
In this episode, I joked on Instagram that this is going to be a 2-hour podcast and like, who's to say?
Yeah. Kidding, but maybe not.
Maybe not. And I don't think it actually will be 2 hours, but there's just a lot to talk about even prior to the race itself.
Yeah. And you'll know if it's 2 hours or not. We don't know yet.
Exactly. You will know. But before we get into all of that, we announced a really exciting partnership this week. Do you want to let the people know?
Yes, and you're going to have to help fact check me because I mess up every time I say the actual name of the race. But we are partnering with the F1crypto.com Miami GP. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, we're partnering with F1 Miami yes. for the... Yes. Yes, exactly.
And we're very excited. I think this is the first time we are going to be going to this race, as many of you know. And yeah, just looking forward to it. I think, you know, one thing that we've talked about a lot is how difficult, how unattainable it can be to go to some of these races. Yep. And I know that the tickets are still maybe not affordable to some people, which I totally understand. But I think the campus pass tickets that they're selling for Miami this year is some of the best prices I've ever seen.
Yep,
and yeah, so we're really excited to be involved with that and help kind of promote that race. And we're excited to attend and see what Miami has to offer. And mm-hmm. we hope to see you there. And if you do see us there, please say hello.
Yeah, I think we're going to do some sort of like meetup during the weekend. I think we'll probably, we've never been to the race, so we got to suss it out and figure it out. But I'm sure in between sessions or something,
yeah.
we will have a little meetup where people can, maybe we can exchange bracelets or whatever, just kind of chat. You guys can meet each other too.
Because yeah.
I know we actually got some messages from people who said that they might be considering going alone
to the
race. So that might be nice to kind of meet other people.
Absolutely.
So if you're going, we'd love to meet you there and hopefully run into all of you. And it's going to be a good time. I think it'll be fun. Excited to be, I mean, it's not like it's been freezing cold here, but nice to be, you know,
yeah,
by the beach, by the water.
For sure. Yeah, I'm ready for some more weather.
So you can go to the link in our Instagram bio or TikTok bio. If I remember, I'll drop the link to in the description of the podcast, but I might forget to do that. And you can buy the tickets there.
Yeah. And I will say we were looking at hotels and stuff. The website for the race has a really good resource page of the hotels that are like in the area of the track. And from other hotel prices I've seen for races and stuff, they seem to be quite affordable.
I agree. Okay. A lot of other stuff to get into again before we even get to the race of just stuff that happened. I feel like we should get through some of the more serious is maybe not the right word, but just sort of like... more actual like newsy things first.
Sure.
So we missed it last week because it actually came out like while we were recording, but the person who accused Christian Horner of inappropriate behavior essentially mm-hmm. has now officially filed like an official complaint with the FIA.
Wow.
So
I don't even think I knew that.
We will see what happens there. Again, ongoing situation. It sort of seems like everyone's acting like we're just moving right along.
Yeah.
But I think it's still very much, I don't think any of this is over yet. So interested to see what happens there.
For sure.
Do you remember the FIA president, being accused of
sure
interfering with race results. Well, he's been cleared. I believe, you know, part of me, like, I don't know what went down. I think they said, you know, and again, like independent or investigation went down, whatever. But it's a little like, sure, Jan.
Totally.
But he has been cleared. So well, no problems good. There.
What a relief.
Yeah. And then Susie has now sued the FIA.
Yeah, because she's a legend.
Over the investigation that, well, I guess it came out last year, the investigation into the potential conflict of interest that happened. Which, you know, good for her for doing that. And then the
and
whole...
good for Lewis for supporting.
Exactly. Once again. And then, and I'm sure people saw on social media, Sky News, the tweet of wife of Formula One boss. Like,
I can't believe we're still doing that. I know. I really can't.
Well, and the people were like, well, she is the wife of the Formula One boss. I go, yeah, I know. But the reason... Well, first of all, that's yes, that is true. But like she also the reason that she is suing is because she has a job in Formula One.
Which caused this complaint.
Exactly.
So it's
so
like,
we
what?
Can call her by her title if you want. Or you can say Susie Wolf.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
I think. Yeah. Because people are like, well, some people don't know who she is. I go, OK, well.
You didn't tell her now.
Yeah.
Or like you didn't tell anyone who she is.
Yeah. So that was just all very stupid. Anyway.
She is a wife and many other things.
Justice for Susie as always. And I just always want the best for her. So
I know.
Good luck to her.
And like I'm sorry that she has to deal with this, but I'm really glad that if some like she just seems like the best person for the job, which is annoying and I hate that it has happened to her, but she's just like she's not afraid to speak up.
Toto, actually, I should see if I can find it, but I saw this article where Toto was basically talking about Susie and like her decision to sue. And some of the quotes that he had were funny. I should see. Yeah. Okay. Toto Wolff reacts to wife Susie's complaint. He said, first of all, Susie is a strong woman. She doesn't take anything from anyone and has always followed through on her convictions and values. She's very unemotional about it and pragmatic. She feels wrong was done and the court needs to hear that. Nothing is going to bring her off that path. That's how her character is.
Snaps.
Which is true.
Yeah.
You know, she's just like, I'm going to get shit done. So best of luck to Susie Wolf.
Yeah, she's a legend.
Okay, more fun stuff. So I'm sure many of us saw Valtteri's Uber commercial.
It was perfect.
Did you see the drivers or certain drivers commented on
I did not.
The video? So well for, if you haven't watched it, please go to Valtteri's.
It's perfect. Like I quite literally have no notes, nothing to say. It was just brilliant.
When he was like whatever he said when he was like, I'm rich, so I don't have to like it's free to something because I'm rich. I don't
I'm already very rich or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Wording. Oh, yeah. Daniel commented, it's a special feeling to have three Aussies on the grid. And then Lewis commented the laughing tear emoji, actually in tears. This is so good, bro. Pierre Gasly, legend, crying tears emoji.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
And the color was perfect. Yes. It looked so like,
yes.
It was just, everything was
props
great.
Props to Valtteri.
Yeah.
Good for him. Loved it.
It's
absolutely
just so funny.
It.
And like Uber, great job. Like, the whole thing is so good.
I completely agree. Another fun little partnership that happened was Morgan Riddle.
Yes.
Partnered with the Australian GP. So for those who don't know, Morgan, she is she's an influencer, content creator. We don't want to, you know, girlfriend of her.
No.
But she is the girlfriend partner of US tennis player, men's tennis player Taylor Fritz. And she basically kind of blew up. I want to say it was like 2 years ago for like basically taking her audience with her on the tennis tour and like making tennis cool again.
Yeah, for sure.
Basically,
which
and really
she's
like
done.
Like leaning into like not being afraid to share that lifestyle and I think like has kind of created this like whole new I don't know, like little niche for content creators, influencers, especially like WAG influencer content creators, and she does like awesome content and great stuff. And and she went to was it Vegas last year?
I think so.
Yeah. And did some stuff. And then apparently it seemed like, well, the Oz GP does this. And I wish they did this for other races.
I know.
It looks
it's so,
so
cool.
Fun. But they basically do this like kickoff party what would it be? Like the Wednesday?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, Wednesday night. Where everyone just gets dressed up in like these very...
It's like the Met Gala for F1.
Yeah, these very fancy dresses. And they go to... It looks like they're in the pit lane,
yeah, what's it called? Glamour on the Grid?
Glamour on the Grid, yeah. It looks so fun. And yeah, like I'm like, why don't...
Yeah, she looked stunning. I loved her dress.
I know, loved her dress. I like saw so many other people that were there that looked awesome. But yeah, she was there like interviewing people, talking to people, which I just thought it was a very smart partnership. And obviously, it would have been interesting. Like I was trying to think of... If an F1 driver's girlfriend were to like mm-hmm. do this and lean in, like who that would be, maybe it would be like Lily or something. Yeah. It's like the closest I could think of. But I love the synergy. I thought it was smart. And then Taylor ended up losing he was in a tournament in Miami actually this week, and he lost in the very first round, and she wasn't there. So probably for the best that like, yeah, you know, maybe. She got to do this thing and, he lost anyway, so
yeah, it's also crazy. She's been to Australia twice in the last like few months, which I know. It's just like it's a real commitment traveling to Australia.
Very big commitment, exactly.
But, yeah, I think it's cool that she got that opportunity, and you know, again, it's like someone's paying attention, yep. And I think there was like obviously a really interesting crossover between F1 and tennis, not only because of the docuseries on Netflix that mm-hmm. are both produced by the same group, but also, you know, I think a lot of the tennis players and drivers are friends because they live in Monaco, and I don't know, I just think it's a cool crossover opportunity, and tennis and F1 have the same kind of glamour behind them.
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I loved it.
Loved it. Very, very cool. We also, you know, we put out a call asking for more driver covers. And we got one, Joe on the cover of GQ Sports again.
Love.
It was great. The pictures were amazing. Yep. Loved it. Like exactly what we wanted. We did get some people messaging us being like, you guys manifested this.
Yeah. I mean, they probably shot that several months ago, but.
But still, we did.
Yeah.
Also, did you see his helmet?
Yes.
Valtteri on the helmet.
Perfect. And his mustache that he put on. For, so good.
Hilarious. They're just having a good time.
They
over
really
there
are. They're leaning in.
State kick, Sauber, blah, 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 yeah, team.
Neon green.
Yeah. You know, they're struggling on the track, but they're...
Off the track, they're killing
they're
it.
They're having a fun time.
Yeah.
And you have to respect that.
Yeah.
Loved it. Also, Zach Brown has extended his role as CEO until 2030.
Oh, good for him.
So congratulations to Zach Brown. He's going to be sticking around.
Keep on keeping on, dude.
With the team, you know, we've had our ups and downs with Zach, but mm-hmm. I think we're now pro.
Yeah, I have no qualms at this moment.
We have no qualms. You know, he's saying the right things. He's doing the right things. Got a great team in place. Mm-hmm. McLaren is, I have respect.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the IndyCar team is doing great. You know.
Yep. All good things ahead. And so congratulations to Zach Brown. Here's to many more years with McLaren. The final thing we have to talk about that is non-race related is Lando Norris on Chicken Shop Date.
Now I smiled the whole time.
Well, okay, let's take it back to the beginning.
Okay.
When it was first, there was rumblings that he could be the guest mm-hmm. because Amelia, I think it was like on maybe Monday or something, I can't remember exactly, she posted some teasers,
yep.
like guess who my next guest is, and she posted a picture of her questions,
yep.
and there was like a question like, are you or someone like something about golf? There's you could only read kind of half of the questions, and then one of them was like a thing about gaming.
Okay,
but then the real tell was then like the following picture she posted like a toy car.
Yeah,
and everyone was like,
Lando.
It's got to be Lando Norris, right? But it was a little confusing. I mean, obviously, of course, they filmed it ahead of time, but he was already in Australia, so people were like, is this him? Is this not him?
Yeah.
Turns out it was him.
Yeah, it was.
And it's okay. So yeah, share your thoughts.
First of all, he's just like, his personality is perfect for this show. Like, I think that there's some people that go on that really don't understand what it is and don't always like banter back with her I shouldn't say the right way, but in a way that I find entertaining.
Okay.
Because I think they're just kind of nervous mm-hmm. and they're not really sure, like, is she being serious? Is she kidding? Like, what's going on? And I feel like he really matched her energy.
Okay, interesting. Because I felt like he was good, but I actually felt like he didn't really give much. He didn't play along as much
oh,
as
really?
He could have. Yeah, like, and I actually, like, our friend Aaron texted texted me, and not to put Erin on, not to like air out her texts on.
I'm sure it's fine. But otherwise, I think she wouldn't be reading it.
No. I mean, it's fine. But like, I don't know that she wants me, but whatever. She said he gave literally nothing. Like, it was funny and I laughed, but he didn't say anything. Which I agree with. Like, he, like, if you compare his to like the one that she did with Paul Mescal, like, he was kind of like, he was asking, he was like giving energy back. I felt like Landa was being a little shy.
Sure.
But it was, I still loved it. Like, yeah. I smiled through the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, he wasn't as like.
It also bums me out that they're so short.
They are short. I know.
And I get it, but I'm like.
Yeah.
Like, his was, it was 6 minutes long.
Right.
And a lot of it is the shots of the chicken shop itself. I'm like.
Yeah.
I know it's a production and I respect it, but I want a little bit more.
Also, our friend Fev,
yeah.
who people have heard on this podcast, she was on the episode we did earlier in the season about, you know, being a new F1 fan. She's a big Lando fan.
Sure.
And she texted me about a specific moment, which now I'm not sure what that one is because I'm not going to click on the video. But she said, the smile I'm smiling at my phone right now, it's all too much for little Fevy.
Yeah, that's how I felt too, though. But he's just like, I don't know how to, he's just the like schoolboy backwards baseball cap. You know?
Yes. And yeah. And then she said, I needed like 18 hour version of that.
Yeah.
Which agreed. But then it got me thinking like, who's the next? Cause you know, she gave the trophy at the end.
Yeah.
And I guess I should also say, for those who don't know what Chicken Shop Date is,
sure.
it's a like video series that went viral maybe a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Where this girl Amelia goes on these like fake dates at a chicken shop, like a chicken nugget restaurant basically, and it's just she has this very like dry sarcastic kind yeah. of humor, and she just kind of banter back and forth in the app, and it's like a fake date,
yeah,
but it's funny.
She's the best too. And she's just so funny.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea for a video series, and she gets, you know, big time people on. I mean, like Cher has done it, Jennifer yeah. Lawrence has done it.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lawrence called her Phoebe, which was funny.
Yes, yes.
She's like, did you just call me Phoebe?
A lot of people have done the show, and it's excellent.
Yeah.
But she gives him the trophy at the end and is like, you know, you're the first Formula One driver that I've had yeah. on the show, and I'm like, you know, it'd be funny for her to do all 20 drivers and then like.
Yeah.
Pick a, like almost bachelor style, like pick a final person.
Totally.
But
that would be a really funny series, actually.
I know. But I'm like, who do you think would be the next best? Because there's a part of me that feels like, in the right, if he's willing to go there, Oscar could yes. actually be very good.
I was thinking that too, but I don't know if he would go because I think. Day to day, his personality is probably a lot like her, just a very dry sense of humor, whatever. But I don't know if he would play off of her well.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking Oscar, and then I was like, well, maybe he would be like kind of nervous, or I don't know. But based on his like internet banter, I
yeah.
feel like
yeah.
it would work really well. Charles would be so confused.
But like if
but
if,
it could be funny.
If he could get it, like if
it would
if,
be brilliant.
If he it would be really, yeah. really good. Because it would be
Carlos. I don't think it would work.
I don't think it would work. I think Daniel has the potential to make it
for
work.
For sure, but he also might be too geeky
giggly.
About it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, too. I was trying to think, there was someone else I felt like who just kind of laughed a lot because he just wasn't really sure what was going on. And I don't remember who it was at this moment. But
he would never, well, I shouldn't say he would never do it, but like, really, I think the person that would honestly bring it is Lewis Hamilton.
I know. But I think it goes, to me, it feels like the thing with Oscar, it's like, is he's so reserved, like he could really bring
he could
it but
really
will
bring
he,
it
you
right.
know but I don't
he,
know
if he was there he could bring yeah. it hardcore
yeah. And then I think Valtteri maybe has potential, but it's again very it could potentially be awful,
and I don't think he really would understand.
No, probably not.
I don't think he,
but what makes me think that is the video he did, the
yeah,
commercial he
yeah.
just did, like I feel
yeah,
like it,
yeah.
he could be dialed
again,
in
everyone would have to be really fully prepped on like what it is and fully understand it and feel like comfortable fully mm-hmm. going for it and
yeah.
like not feeling like, oh, are people gonna really think we're actually on a date, like
yeah.
you know what I mean.
What do you
like-
think about Fernando?
Interesting.
Yeah, I also yeah. it's not F1, but I could see Pato Award, I feel like, would be really good on it.
He would be, yeah, he'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of IndyCar people would be good on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fernando could be good. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of drivers again could be good. It depends on what kind of content you're looking for.
Totally.
Yeah, I did think about Charles Leclerc. I was like,
he has to be really prepped.
He has to be really prepped.
Yeah, because he's either just going to be like really like answer seriously and not understand.
Yeah.
Or I don't know.
But like if you could, I mean, he wants to get into acting, right? Like he said he wants to be an actor. So like, let's just pretend.
I just need you to know that that really worries me.
I know, it worries me too.
And I want to be wrong. I just, to be clear. Also, not F1 related, but I need Andrew Garfield to go on Chicken Chop Date.
Oh, for sure.
Because I don't know if any, so Amelia also does red carpet interviews, and was it GQ awards or something?
Well, she talked to him at the Oscar or the Golden Globe.
That was that was the first one. Yeah, and the viral chemistry is off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually at the GQ awards, she met Jeremy Allen White, and he said that he loves her show.
Yes. I'm like, and she said, yeah, chef. And then when she called, what's his name? From Fleabag.
Oh, Andrew Scott.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, and then it felt wrong. I was thinking Adam Scott in my head, and I was like, "Well, that will look stupid if I say that out loud." But when she called him father, I was just like,
"Yeah,
yes,
good stuff, good stuff." So, anyway, that's our chicken chop segment. Loved it. I'm happy to see. You know, always love when Formula One drivers get outside of
Sounds like people were gatekeeping. Don't do that because we don't like it when people do that. It's fine if people like Lando and don't know what's going on in Formula One.
Oh, totally.
They won't know enough about him and they'll move on soon. So just be nice.
They'll move on soon.
Or they won't, but they'll come into the sport and they'll want to be your friend. So be nice.
Yeah. Who would be the worst on Chicken Shop Date? Max.
Lance.
Oh. Checo, honestly.
Yeah.
Checo
would be so confused.
He'd be like, when he was introduced in Vegas.
Yeah.
And he was just standing there
like, what do I do? It's like, keep walking. What are you standing there for?
God bless. Anyway, okay.
Who would be the best team principal?
Again, if he's willing to go there, Toto Wolff, 100%.
For sure.
But also Fred would...
Yeah,
he would bring it.
Yeah,
like, he could.
Gunter
be silly.
Could maybe bring it too. He's an honorary team.
Yeah,
principal.
But Fred would like do the weird shit. Like
totally.
He would be, he'd be silly.
Yeah,
you
that'd
know?
Be funny.
That would be really, really funny.
And Tony keeps saying that or has said this before, but it would be really fun to see Amelia do the grid walk with Martin Brundle at Silverstone or something.
Yes.
So let's manifest that, everybody, because we've already gotten some covers.
Or get her to do like post race, or like get her to do like stuff. You know, during the weekend itself,
totally.
Like we don't have to get into like the serious time, but
and it doesn't need to be all the time, but like the Silverstone would be a really fun crossover. Yeah. And I don't know. I think it could be really
fun. I completely agree. All right. That's that for the off track business. Let's get into the race weekend itself because we got a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Starting off with probably the biggest, well, I shouldn't say the biggest news because obviously Carlos winning is probably the biggest news, but what happened with Williams? So let's just break it down. I'm sure everyone listening to this knows what happened, but in case you missed it or whatever, are confused by everything, let's just kind of take it from step one. So we have FP1.
Yeah.
And Alex, you know, going through his run program, seems to kind of like take a curb, kind of weird, sort of gets him out of, I mean, he kind of spins out, big crash, hits the wall. Cars in shambles, pieces. Not any, and I actually was watching FP1 because it was on at like 8:30 for us on Thursday night. So I think I had it on actually before the basketball game.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh yeah, you know, that's not a great crash. But again, I'm not thinking like, oh, that's a
weekend
race
ending.
Yes, exactly. And then I go to bed. I don't stay. I mean, obviously, I don't, because I think FP2 was like at midnight or something. So I go to bed, I wake up, and then I see on my phone, it's like, Logan out of race weekend, Alex to drive Logan's car. I'm like, what the heck's going on? So basically, and as we've always said, we love James's transparency.
Totally.
He is the first person when something has to be said or there's a hard decision to be made. Like he is out in public. He is speaking about what's going on. He is sharing the information. Like we've always said, transparency, we love transparency.
It is the key.
And he is the first person to be transparent. So he basically came out and said, you know, in the off season, as they were developing, they were basically putting all their resources into like pushing this car as far as they could, that they basically decided to sort of skip the making a spare chassis part of the development process, which most teams, for those who don't know, And also, if you don't know, the chassis is like the outer structure of the car. It's like the, you know, there's all these components and parts that make the car up, but that's the actual...
Like the livery piece that you, like the physical,
the physical structure.
You see.
Yeah. And most teams will bring a spare chassis with them to these races in case something happens, like what happened with Alex, where in a practice session or qualifying session, if there's a big enough crash, they have a spare one that, that they can use to fix and whatnot. Well, Williams, they don't have one. And it did make me think, what other teams don't have a spare chassis? So because of that, they had to make a decision about who was going to drive their lone chassis for the race. And he made the decision based, and he said, I don't know if you saw this, he said, we did not base this, this was not based off of what happened last year. This is based off of this year.
Okay.
It's like, okay. But basically of how the season has gone thus far, they made the decision to put Alex in the car. Now, well, okay. I guess I'll just ask you your initial thoughts.
I get it and I feel bad, I think, are my initial thoughts. I mean, I think it's really bold to not have a spare chassis.
Yeah. Chassis.
I'm a fan, that's fine. Words are just hard. And chassis, pear trap. But They made a call, and they decided that they basically decided a while ago that they were going to take the risk if something ever came up and they don't have an extra.
They were willing to take the risk.
They were willing to take the risk.
Yeah.
Fine. This is a business decision that obviously has direct impact on someone personally, which is always a bummer. Mm-hmm. But I also don't know. I go back and forth because I guess we'll never know if Logan stayed driving, like, how would that play out?
Yeah.
I almost wonder, and maybe they weren't allowed to do this, but I almost wonder, like, if he was it, like, could he have gone through qualifying and then someone else drive?
No.
I didn't think so.
You can't. Okay. Yeah. Like, even when there's a, like, if someone's replacing or subbing in for someone, they have to have gone through qualifying to race.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I get it. And I mean, I think it's fair that, and I believe that he believes that the decision was based on this year alone. Mm-hmm. I think it's really hard just as a human being to forget about last year. But again, like the numbers are the numbers. Like I understand why they made this decision. I think it's unfair because we're two races in and, you know, it could have been the best race of his career thus far, but we'll never know that. But they're also, you know, they're a team that's fighting for points to help with their bottom line.
Yeah.
And so I understand why they made the decision, but I do think it's disappointing for Logan. And I think, you know, it puts Alex in a tough spot too, because, you know, it's just a weird spot to be in. I'm sure he felt uncomfortable with it and was glad to probably still be able to drive. But it's this weird, like, okay, so he crashes the car and, yeah, has done well before. And anyone could have crashed the, like, you know, this could have happened to anyone. But so he crashed the car. So you're rewarding that by letting him drive his teammate's car. That, I think, is like the negative optics of it. But I also understand that he performs better consistently.
Right. I mean, that's, I think, a lot of it, which is it was Alex's fault that he was the one that crashed. And it wasn't a situation like, let's say, Carlos in Vegas last year, where there was a loose drain cover that completely destroys the car that was totally out of Carlos's control.
Yeah, it was an error that Alex made.
Yeah, it was an error that Alex made, and yet Logan's being punished for it. Mm-hmm. That's a tough thing. I also thought to myself, this, I don't believe with any other team on the grid, if, and I think, I mean, it's hard. I don't believe that Red Bull, for example, that doesn't have a spare chassis. I think they definitely do. But let's pretend that they don't. And Max destroys his car in FP1. They are not putting Max in Checo's car. Like, they are letting Checo race because they just would not. I believe they would not be replacing. Also, like, for Red Bull, these points are not as crucial to them as a Williams. But also, like, those are points that Checo's more likely to score points. And if he doesn't get a chance to score those points, then that's going to mess up with, like, his driver standings, like, all these different things. And I really believe down the grid, I don't think any team would make the decision to have one driver replace the other if they only had one car. Like, I feel like if a driver crashes, then he's the one that's out and the other driver's going to race. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Williams situation is the most sort of like the biggest gap in performance. And so it's like the easiest for people to wrap their heads around.
Yeah.
I also feel like, and I think, well, we've always said, you know, many things can be true at once. That should be on a shirt or a hat. We should make that. But I also, and you cannot, we cannot judge James's decision based off of the result that happened, right?
Totally.
He's having to make a hard decision in the moment. It's a risky decision, but he was clearly willing to take the gamble.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder though, if it was a little bit short-sighted, because while it was, I think, the right business decision in the moment, I worry that this ultimately will harm Logan more going forward. And his confidence will be extremely shaken from it. The mm-hmm. idea that your team doesn't believe in you so much so that they're willing to put the other driver who ruined his car into your seat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big blow to the confidence.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that will ultimately prevent Williams from scoring more points down the road.
Yeah.
The other thing too is, and my feeling is, if you don't think Logan, and I know it's, there's a lot more to it, but if you don't feel that Logan, you don't believe in him getting you points, then why is he on your team?
Well, yeah, but I also think that there's a, like, he scored 1 point on a technicality last year,
right?
And I think we've talked about this. I think it was the, okay, let's give him another chance. We're still so early into the season.
Yep.
And I think he's improved, but he hasn't gotten as close to points as Alex has.
Yes.
So again, I think it's, and I agree with you. Like I hear that side of it. Now, I also feel like I saw a headline and I may have misread it or I made this up. Did Logan have any involvement in that decision? Like did he didn't.
No.
Okay. Cause I thought I saw something where it was like Logan like approved it or like they brought it to him and he said it was fine. Although like, what are you going to say?
I mean, he put out a statement.
So they put out a statement on his Instagram.
Well, they each, like when they made the decision, like they did like a Instagram post of like Alex's statement, Logan's statement, James's statement, whatever,
okay,
talking about the
that must
situation.
Have been what I saw then.
Yeah. So I don't know. Time will tell. I also think too, and we've said this 1,000 times, like Formula One is not a fair sport, right?
Mm-hmm.
The sport, I mean, in general, it's not fair. There are drivers that have seats that probably shouldn't have seats. Logan even being on the team isn't necessarily fair, if we're being fully honest. Like there's so many other drivers who perform better than him in the feeder series that mm-hmm. probably quote unquote deserve to be in an F1 seat more than Logan does. But mm-hmm. because Logan is frankly American.
Right. And if Logan would have crashed in practice, Logan wouldn't have raced.
Right.
So yeah, it is. It's a little, I mean, again, I can see both sides of it and it's just a hard one.
It's a hard one. I feel for Logan. It makes me want to root for Logan. Mm-hmm. Like I want to see him do well. And I'll be very curious to see how this affects the team going forward. And obviously Alex didn't score points. So, you know, it wasn't, and we can't judge the decision off of that, but mm-hmm. didn't end up being,
the results they hoped.
The result
for,
they hoped.
Sure.
And yeah, as we said, who knows where Logan would have been, where
Chinese
he would
farmer
have found
man.
Up. Exactly. We'll have to find out. Okay. Let's move on to quali real quick. Just kind of go over some quick bits. So I guess from Q1, Daniel had track limits.
Yep.
And was out in Q1. Another disastrous qualifying from him. He's got to get his qualifying together.
I know, truly.
Like
he's
literally
been doing it for years. Like, I don't understand.
Tomorrow he needs to get it together because he can't keep.
Well, there isn't qualifying tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. it was not great. And then on the other side, Yuki gets P8, and it's like it's even more not a great look when like your teammate does super well and you have this mistake that costs you and makes you start from the back. And
I mean, in a way, I'm almost glad it was track limits instead of just like being bad. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Because like every driver on the grid has had a track limits issue before.
Sure.
So it helps somewhere.
Well, it was interesting too. it was interesting hearing his post qualifying interview because he said that he basically was like the lap that I put together, it felt like it was as much as I could give. And he was like, I've done this long enough to know that like when I cross a line, I can kind of tell like that was a good lap. That was not a good lap. Right. Like he can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said like when he crossed the line. I mean, this is obviously, let's pretend that the track limits didn't exist.
Sure.
He's like, it felt like a really good lap, like the most I could give. And it, I think it would, I mean, it would have gotten him probably into Q2, but he was still down compared to the others. And he was like, I don't really know what's going on. Cause like, I feel comfortable in the car. I feel good in the car, but he's like, I can't carry as much speed into some of the corners as my teammate can. Mm-hmm. They actually ended up following qualifying going into the race. They replaced his power unit. They replaced all of, like, his engine components and stuff. So okay. I wonder if they felt like there was a engine issue. Like he wasn't able to, that was what was holding him back. Because he said, he was like, if I gotten into Q2, he's like, I don't know that I would have been able to go any faster than what I did in Q1, which was a little probably concerning for people.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll have to see how that goes. I mean, out-qualified by Yuki the last three times. And I mean, if he wants to stay in Formula One, like, he's got to get it together because, as we know, they are a
cutthroat
business.
Especially his team.
Exactly. Helmut's probably like with a mic right now talking about it. Nico got impeded by Checo and was also out in Q1. Checo got a 3-place grid penalty. I feel like Nico has quietly had like a very good season.
For sure.
Like qualifying has been great. Obviously this week it wasn't because of that, but he's done a great job.
Yeah.
Like really coming on strong.
Agreed.
Lewis got out in Q2. Again, Lewis has just not had a happy time. No. He's also being out-qualified routinely by George. He said, he's like, I'm not happy with this car. Mm-hmm.
He's having a terrible time. And it's a real bummer.
He's having a terrible time. But, you know, here's to next year.
You're going to have to get a new one of those.
I know. I'm excited. I'm excited to get the,
Ferrari Lewis merch.
Well, no, the Charles Lewis, both like Ferrari team.
Nice.
Etsy, it's gonna be right up my alley. Great, obviously, performance by Carlos. He got P2, which set him up then for the victory this weekend.
Shout out to his appendix.
And McLaren looked very strong. Obviously, after Checo's penalty kicked in, they both started, I think, third and fourth. Mm-hmm. So great work.
Yeah.
Really not much else to say from quality. Yeah. Anything else from you?
Well, no. I mean, I think I was excited for Oscar at his home race and, less excited for Daniel at his home race, but glad he was home. And Valtteri was also in hiding, but he's in Australia now.
It's funny, Carlos, it's like, oh, he has the, appendix surgery and he comes back and he wins a race. And I was thinking, I was like, Daniel, breaks his hand. Crickets.
No. It's worse than that. Leaves Formula One, comes back as the marketing guy, gets a seat, breaks his hand, comes back, nothing.
I guess he did have that good weekend in Mexico last year.
Sure.
But like then he had, the tire on the flap, starting a lap down, the thing in the duct, the this and the that, the it's like these, God has favorites, clearly.
Yeah, he does.
When it comes to what happens on track, obviously, like, God has looked down favorably on Daniel over the course of his life.
Of course.
I mean, he has a very good life.
Yeah.
Not to say he's having, like, a terrible time. Okay, let's get to the race.
Okay.
Because...
Oh, my God.
So, I stayed up. So, for those who don't know... It was on at 11 p.m., Central time for us here in the States. And I should also say the next two races, we obviously have Japan and China and they're going to be even later for us. And so there's a good chance that we will not be staying up for those races. We're just, I should speak for me.
No,
I am not at a point in my life where I'm not someone who can handle like staying up super late, waking up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. I'm impressed you stayed up for the race last night. Well, I didn't think you would.
11 was easy. Like, yeah, it's basically easier. Over by 12:30.
Yeah.
So I could handle that.
Yeah, 2 a.m. start or anything like that.
I just can't do it. So
because was it Suzuka last year that got like red flagged and it was raining?
No, that was the year before.
The year before? That was horrible.
But Australia last year was the multiple red flags.
Yes.
And they actually started an hour earlier this this time because of last year when Carlos, do you remember when he hit Fernando and then got the penalty when the second restart? part of his reasoning for that was because of the sun, where the sun was.
Oh,
it was like
right.
too directly in their eye. And you know, now that I'm thinking about it, Carlos had a pretty shitty time in Australia last year.
Yeah, he did.
So it's a nice full redemptive arc for him.
Yeah.
So that's why they pushed it back an hour, which, or I guess forward an hour. I was thankful for that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I stayed up to watch, and I texted Hannah a few hours before it started. And I was like, are you staying up for the race? And you said that you didn't think so. So I knew that I wasn't going to text her because obviously I didn't want you to be spoiled, and I knew you'd watch it this morning and whatever. So I'm just in my bed watching the race, and you know, it starts and Max gets away, and I'm like, okay, here we go. This is just how it goes. And then, like, I don't know if it was the first lap, second lap, Max kind of has a bit of a slide and Carlos gets ahead. And I'm like, interesting.
I think it was second because I think Carlos had DRS.
Okay. But then I'm also like, okay, this is going to last for
a little while.
A little while, and then Max is going to get him back. And then you just
smoke.
And he's just struggling. And you're like, what's going on here? And I mean, I wish you could have seen me. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I almost wanted everyone in my, that I was in the house was already asleep, but I wanted to like go wake people up and
yeah,
be like,
of course.
Guys, like, history. Max is, Max is DNFing, you know, like get up. But it just felt crazy.
It was shocking.
It's been 2 years since he's DNFed, and it feels, and for it to happen so early in the race also, it was like, oh my God, like we have the whole race ahead of us and no Max.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. So before I watched it this morning, so the morning after the race.
Yeah.
And our friend Abby texted me and was like, have you watched the race yet? And I was like, oh no, something crazy happened, because she watches, but she doesn't always like text me. Oh,
okay.
And I was like, no, I haven't yet. And she goes, okay, I won't tell you anything. I'm like, well, you just did.
Yeah.
Because obviously something significant has happened.
Yeah.
No fault to her. She doesn't know the rules. It's fine. At least she didn't say, oh my God, Max, because then I would have known, or, you know, something.
Right.
And then I have my, I had turned my phone off, do not disturb or whatever. And I got a fan amp notification that was like, I'm so happy for Carlos. And I was like, what's going on? So then I went on full do not disturb, and I threw my phone across the room.
On do not disturb from the beginning.
Well, I forgot, you know, the race was over. I like forgot that people would have been still messaging. I don't know. So I have too many notifications on. You know this about me.
I do know this, and I have like zero. So
can't relate. So.
I live on. My phone is never not on. Like I have to intentionally take it off.
Yeah.
Of that.
No, I'm a notification queen.
I know,
and it's like to my detriment. I don't know why I do that, but anyway, but. I didn't see that could have meant anything. Like Carlos had his appendix out, like he got second or third or fastest lap. I don't know.
Fastest lap. So happy for him.
Whatever. So, but yeah, luckily it didn't take long for me to see
what happened. Right.
Crazy.
So super.
And he was fuming. Max was so mad. And I haven't seen him mad in a long time.
Well, he said, my dad noticed in the shot of him, like once he first gets out of the car, he's talking to his like an engineer or something, and he like
in the garage,
and he like says something, and he's like fucking stupid.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then poor like Kelly and Penelope are just sitting over there, and Penelope's like, oh, dad's mad.
Yeah,
stepdad's mad. Whatever.
I think she calls him Maxie,
home friend Max.
Yeah, work friend Max. second dad Max. Insane. And then Lewis DNFs, and I'm like, it's the champions. I was like, Fernando's next.
Yeah, totally. The ghosts are just getting kicked off one by one.
It's like, damn, it was crazy to see. I mean, I think we've obviously seen Lewis DNF a couple times, I think, but it was still crazy to see like Ver out, Cam out.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
I was like, is this Monza?
What world are we in?
Too. It was quite something. And then I kind of said, you know, in all honesty, it wasn't that great of a race.
It was really boring.
Like, it was, because again, Australia is very hard to overtake.
Yeah.
It's very challenging to overtake. There weren't very many overtaking situations.
Yeah.
And so most cars just held position. Mm-hmm. And like, there maybe were some sort of like strat, like undercutting, you know, they, people would get a position based off of like the pit stop and when they pitched, you know, when they stopped and whatever. But it wasn't like anyone was really overtaking on the track.
Right.
So it was a little bit like, okay.
But it was just kind of like, I felt lighter watching, just knowing that.
That's what my parents said.
Like, it was just like a new outcome.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And just a fun time. to be had all around.
Yeah. Which feels really bad, especially like as a fan of him. Like, it's a bummer that in order for us to feel refreshed in this sport, he has to fail. Right. Or like Red Bull as a team has to fail. But it really is our only option.
Right. Well, it was interesting. My dad, so I watched it obviously when it happened live. And then this morning, I actually woke up kind of early, just naturally for some reason. And I went downstairs and it was right when my dad was watching it. It was right when Max was starting to have his issues. Mm-hmm. And I kind of sit down and I watch it with them. And he was like, you know, this isn't how I thought I'd feel with a Max DNF. And he's like, because part of me wants someone to beat him on the track.
Totally.
And he's like, it's nice. And he also said he felt kind of bad for Max.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I did like, too. Because it's also okay. Just like, that sucks. And part of me hoped that the issue was not so bad that like they could just fix it and he could come back out and start from like the back and like there'd be overtaking and that could be interesting, whatever. But that's not what happened.
It's
and that's
fine. It's fine.
He'll be back.
He'll be back. Yeah, exactly. I want to just like shout out some good performances. I felt like obviously, again, no one was like doing a crazy overtaking masterclass, but I felt like Yuki had a strong performance. Again, just kept it clean, got his points. Haas did a great job.
Double points,
we have to say. And again, this isn't anything new. Like Haas tends to do well at the beginning of the season. Totally. And then their issues come when upgrades happen for other teams and not for them.
They get downgrades.
We'll see if that can continue throughout the season.
It'd be interesting if they just decided against upgrades. I know that's not how it works, but it would just be curious to see if they just like...
But then it would never...
I understand.
Okay.
But it's just, you know.
Yeah, sure.
The upgrades don't seem to work. So it's just like, maybe we try a different strategy.
Just for Haas.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant like in general Formula One just decides to upgrades.
Just for Haas. Like, try something new. Right. In the way that we've just are picking off team principles to try something new. Like,
Right. Right. Anyway. I also wanted to say, I love RB's principal, Laurent Mekies, who's on the pit wall. I just feel like he has nice, positive energy.
Yeah, he seems great.
He seems great. He came over from Ferrari, and I just enjoyed a new face, a new voice on the pit wall, and I liked him.
He seems happy to be there.
Yeah, exactly. And then obviously, George, very scary.
So scary.
Incident.
It was so weird, too, because all of a sudden, like, they originally didn't show how it happened right away.
And then they just cut,
I know, on its side, I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
I know.
And then seeing how it happened, it was still scary, but it felt less, I thought the car flipped.
Yeah, it was more just like it tilted
because of the tire.
Yeah. And then, if you've seen his onboard, he was like immediately calling for a red flag, which they didn't give him. But it was like, we need to be better about
that. If anyone was closer to him.
I know.
Like if Lance wasn't as far back as he was, they could have gotten T-boned while he was in the car.
I know. Actually, I think somebody was close to him when it happened. Like he was lapping somebody. I was maybe one of the Alpines. But they were, thankfully, obviously, they were, able to get off to the side. It just was very scary. And there needs to be, I think they need to figure out that situation more. They need to dive deeper into that because that could have been a bad situation all around.
Sure.
So I'm glad everyone was okay and everyone came out, unscathed. This is just a thought that just came into my head. But so Hannah and I have, when was it when we mentioned, or who was it? When they showed the garage, there was a F1 driver partner, like maybe last season. And we were like, we loved it that they put, when they did the little title card.
Yes. Was it for Lily?
Oh, yes, it was for Lily.
It was like partner.
And said golfer.
And partner about.
Partner about top one.
And take notes, Sky.
Commenting that we liked that it was like, putting the like profession first and then.
But acknowledging who they are.
Yeah. And did you notice they did that for one Miss Kika?
I did.
Yeah. I was like, model,
yeah,
partner of Pierre Gasly.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, she is. But I appreciated that. I thought of you. Sauber, terrible pit stops.
Yeah, well, they had a fine one, but mostly terrible.
Yeah, but like it can't be a reoccurring theme that every week there's at least one 30-second pit stop.
I know they have to fix.
It is their fault, though.
Well, but isn't there some technical issue?
It's not the
left tire the guy's fault.
Yeah, it's not. But it's the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
They need to figure that out.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, honestly, like, okay, so obviously Carlos won. Like, I shouldn't ignore Carlos's victory. Like, that was amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
Do we have it? Or what was it?
Tell me we have it.
I want you to start doing that. Like, I don't know. Like, if I don't know, like if something comes our way,
yeah.
Like,
tell me we have it. I will. I'll just pull it out whenever it makes most sense.
It's just funny. He's just a funny guy. Like,
truly,
he's one of those guys that, like, you look at him and you think one thing. If you didn't ever know who he was, you never heard him talk, you didn't know anything about him, you just saw him. Like,
yeah.
You're going to have an idea of who he is.
Totally. And he isn't that person.
And he isn't that person. No. And that's good. Like, yeah. I appreciate that about him. You know, like, I like that he's not, like,
there's more than too, just his face.
Too cool know? For school or swap. Like, he's kind of dorky, kind of a, yeah. like, a little...
Tell me we are.
A little geeky singing Smooth Operator and, like,
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, I feel like, and this is maybe not nice, so I'm not sure. And I don't mean it in a negative way, but like, oh, no. Carlos Dose is a better physical representation of Carlos's personality, I think. Do you know what I mean?
No.
That doesn't make sense to you?
Well, no, because I think that, I certainly have like come across many people who are like super attractive, but they're just like, they have just like such quirky, weird personality. Sure. It's just never what like your initial brain goes to. Like, and you could say the same thing about Charles Leclerc too. Like, he's not like singing on the radio.
No.
But like, his comedy is a little different.
Yeah. I don't know if it's comedy.
It is comedy. I mean, and I don't think it's intentional comedy, sure, but it is comedy.
Yeah, it is.
But his is more
aloofness.
And just like naivete.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that's like book smart, not street smart. And he's like race smart,
sure,
and maybe,
I mean, just all the things that he says that go viral, and like the things, yeah, that are just like
just an incident,
or like, I'm not gonna really say it on here because it's probably inappropriate, but like the thing, you know, the, and people will know what I'm talking about, the like Twitch stream, I think it was, where he's like, I'm blank on your fate, I'm blank on your camera,
yeah,
and he was like, oh no, never mind.
Well, sometimes I feel like it's when it's like he is speaking English incorrectly and like realizes in real time. It's the best.
It's so funny. Speaking of Charles not understanding things, the best part of the race weekend for me, honestly, seeing Gunter.
I can't tell you the thrill that I felt when, first of all, I was just so excited about the podium.
I know, it was like one thing after
the
next. And
the cool down room was so fun, and it felt so relaxed, and they were so excited to be there, and Max was on vocal rest, so he couldn't be a part of the podcast this week. And then Gunter Steiner, who, bless him, seemed nervous as hell.
I know. And then Charles, like,
couldn't hear him.
Or didn't understand what he was saying, and I'm like,
he's just like, what? I'm like, you let him get through the whole question? And then, like, Gunter, I felt like Gunter got nervous. He asked something wrong, and I was just like, "No, it's just."
I'm like, just speak in Italian. Just do a quick little Italian aside.
Yeah,
you could probably, you know, figure it out a little bit quicker. But I love seeing him there, and yeah. I would love him to be a permanent.
Yeah, that was really fun
because he's just great, and I'm happy to see him.
Yeah, I'm glad he's around because that made me happy. Yeah,
me as well. Yeah, and then you know, Fernando gets the 22nd penalty after the race for his driving with George, and that promoted Yuki to P7, Lance to P6, Fernando finished P8, which wasn't obviously great, but great for Yuki, great for Lance.
Yeah.
You know, collecting those points. I feel like Yuki is always kind of like, he seems to be in these types of situations. I think like Austin last year with the disqualification of Charles and Lewis and stuff, he gets himself in the right position at the right time,
yeah,
to capitalize,
sure,
on these types of things, you know,
yeah, the mess ups.
Like, he,
yeah,
went in thinking he was gonna get like 2 points maybe, and he got 6, you know, like, just because some people crash and like got a penalty. It was,
yeah,
like, sweet.
Yeah. Neat.
It's kind of like when you go to like McDonald's and you get like a 10 piece chicken nugget, but then you actually get like 12.
Yeah, totally.
And you're like, ooh,
even like an extra, like on an 11th, you're
extra
like, nice. Or they give you an extra sauce. You're like, sweet, didn't order that.
That's exactly. He's like, I did not order this.
Someone counted wrong today.
But I'm glad I got it. So
tell me we have it.
That's what you're gonna say when I like,
yeah,
like if we ask for like ranch on the side.
God.
I'm crying.
In fairness, there's nothing worse than when you order a sauce and they don't give it to you.
I literally went to Chick-fil-A the other week. Or was it Chick-fil-A? No. Where was I? I can't remember where I was, but I had like asked for sauce. Or maybe it was at this other place I go to. It's not like a chain, but and then I got home and they didn't give it to me. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, you've ruined the whole thing. Yeah,
exactly. Ugh,
darn, I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. I will persevere. So that was kind of the race itself. I mean, again, not a lot to discuss about the race. I mean, there were some exciting moments, but there wasn't a lot of like...
No, it was pretty neutral.
Back like, and forth chill. And craziness, you know. But good race.
Yeah, it was fun.
Fun time.
It felt like really light after the last just... It was just felt it was enjoyable.
Nice. It was nice. We got Japan next. So excited for that. Excited to see what happens there.
You know, I hope Yuki does well.
Yeah, I mean,
hasn't he not done well the last?
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know that he did very well last year. No, it didn't rain last year. But he's. I mean, obviously, he's doing mm-hmm. super well, and I feel like he has a lot of confidence. So I'm sure he will continue.
I want him and Daniel to do something fun content wise. I don't know what it is, but I just want them to do a cool. Like, I want Yuki to take Daniel to like his favorite restaurants and stuff in Japan.
Totally do some food testing or like taste.
Yeah, anything fun.
Japanese snacks,
not in their garb. I mean, I know they have to wear it if
they're V carb.
The V carb garb.
Garb. Yeah, exactly.
Funny.
Okay, fan and foe.
So my fan, I think, just truly the content this week was remarkable. I mean, from you know, got the chicken shop, and then really, I mean, Valtteri, Uber car share commercial was a work of art and will go down in history. And I actually I ate at the Roost on Saturday morning with some friends and Valtteri Bottas has been there.
He
so
has.
It felt like it was a good luck charm, which didn't work for the on track stuff, but it did work for the off track stuff.
Totally. Even though the off track stuff had already happened when you got to the Roost, but
details.
Totally.
Details.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
My fan is also so it's chicken shop adjacent, but it's really since it's post chicken shop, it has been Amelia and Lando's Instagram flirtation mm-hmm. in the comments. Actually, and I have it pulled up. Amelia commented on the like, I think it was McLaren's graphic of Lando's P3, mm-hmm. and she said, "My guy with a heart," and then he commented back, "My boo."
God, gotta love it.
So, I just love it. I think it's great. And here's to more mm-hmm. drivers on Chicken Shop Day.
I also just thought of another one. Mm-hmm. It's very quick, but I saw. I think Michaela actually shared this. It's the only way I saw it. But I think Duolingo mm-hmm. Commented on something about Max today, like after his "Do you need a streak pause" or something. And Duolingo is one of the best brands.
They're very good.
They're very dialed they're in, very and they do a really good job of like cross commenting on stuff, and it's very funny.
I agree.
So, that was it.
Okay, foe.
So I have two. One of them is that the first week I picked Max is the first time in 2 years that he decided to DNF. So while I feel grateful for the pole points that I get, I mm-hmm. feel a little disappointed to lose what I thought was just a shoe-in for a good amount of points this week for mm-hmm. my personal thing. The other thing, and I'm not really sure what's going on, but one of the only other F1 podcasts that I listen to is F1 with DRS, which is hosted by Dax Shepard, Matthew Collins, Charlie, can't remember his last name, and then Jethro, mm-hmm. also can't remember his last name. And I don't know where it is.
They clearly just, or I don't know either, but it feels like they just kind of were like, it's too much work for us.
But like no announcement, they're just like kind of gone. Now I do know that so Matt is a hairstylist and has like a, he works really closely with Dyson, and he was just in Paris or something doing the launch for Dyson for something else. So like, I don't know if the season had started yet, but like he was traveling a lot. And then Dax was just in India for this thing with Bill Gates that they were doing. But I'm just like, guys, where are you? At least announce that you're not coming back. So I don't know.
Tough.
It's just a bummer.
Yeah.
Because I like the podcast.
Well, it's funny. I actually I have realized by having an F1 podcast, I don't want to listen to F1 podcasts.
Well, yeah, it was only I think that's why I liked it, because theirs was very, it was a lot of banter, but kind of like how we talk about it. Like they talked about the race and did stuff, but there was a lot of extra to it.
Yeah.
And now I just feel like I don't have an F1 podcast that I listen to.
You listen to Fan Behavior and F1 podcast.
Well, yeah, obviously I listen to Fan Behavior and F1 podcast. On YouTube.
On YouTube, yeah, exactly. My foe is that just Mercedes is just shit the bed, and it's just like not, I just like, I wouldn't say I'm like the biggest Mercedes fan ever. I obviously love Lewis and I like George fine, you know, but it's just, it feels sad.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
How bad they've been. And I wonder how much more leeway Toto is going to get.
Yeah, Toto will be fine.
He will be fine in general, obviously. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, this week he did have, you know, from lap whatever 15 onwards, Lewis standing over his shoulder.
Yeah, he did. And he was wearing his glasses today, which I always wonder what that means for him.
It means maybe they're like,
because usually he blue. Saves those for night races.
Oh, interesting. You noticed that?
Yeah.
Huh. I never noticed
like
that.
It seems like he like, I don't know if he like doesn't like to have contacts in past a certain time or whatever, but I feel like I haven't seen him in glasses in a while. Maybe they seemed new.
Vision's getting worse.
Could be.
Another question to ask him if we ever do.
Also, this feels weird, but for some reason, I think there's something softer about him when he's wearing glasses, which I know is like a weird thing to say.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
It seems like he's the type of person that would find wearing glasses as a weakness or like a chore, like this thing that's like he's not regimented. Like
I don't like wearing glasses.
Yeah, I know. But just sometimes it throws me off when he's wearing them because it feels like it would be a distraction for him almost.
Like, so I shouldn't say obviously, I don't know if anyone knows that I don't have good vision and I wear contacts, but like for me, if I don't put in contacts and I'm wearing like glasses, I don't feel like I'm fully like
awake
and fully like ready for my day. I feel kind of like slobby.
And I think because slobbish. I know that about you, like I wear glasses, I have to wear them all day at work because I don't need a prescription for contacts, but my eyes don't focus on the computer. Like I'll get really bad headaches, whatever. So for me, I feel like I am working when I have my glasses on. Yeah. But I know that about you. Yeah. And Toto, like you have, I mean, you're not Toto, but there's similar vibes in that when he wears glasses, I'm like, he's not ready for the day.
He's going to bed.
And that's why I feel like he wears them a lot at night races because maybe his eyes get agitated or whatever. He gets a sleepy boy. And I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
Well,
let us know what you think about that if you have any theories. And if Lewis can't even sit down, I'm just like, I'm so curious about this.
I mean,
rule.
Maybe he could sit down. He just chooses not to.
No, he can't. I know he can't.
Lewis can sit.
No, no one can sit down but Toto. Otherwise, they would be.
Yeah, but maybe not. I don't know. We just don't know. And I think we need to
do
an investigation into the Mercedes garage, not for anything salacious,
but truly
to figure out the situation with the chairs and the Toto and the glasses.
I mean, with all sincerity, if we ever get the chance to meet Toto Wolff, I will be asking him that question. And if I forget because I'm panicked because we're talking to Toto Wolff, if you could just gently remind me.
Because I won't be panicked?
Totally. But you'll be more panicked than me. But if you could just gently remind me, like, ask about the sitting.
Sure. I'll keep that in mind.
Thanks, Jan.
Okay, so speaking of our draw, for those who watched our Saudi Arabia, when we did it, announced it, Hannah had Max for the weekend. I had Charlotte Claire for the weekend. So,
of course,
it was a good weekend for me. Now, not so good. Okay, so this is what I wanted to ask you, though. So, Charles, he qualified, when qualifying was over, he was P5.
It's starting grid.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you, and I felt like we needed to figure that out going
forward. I would say it's starting grid. Okay, because technicalities in this sport are real. So
they matter. Like, yeah. Okay. So you got 10 points for Max's pole position, and then I got 10, 9, 8, 7 points for Charles' P4 on the grid, starting grid, and then I got an additional 18 points because he came in second place. So I finished the weekend. Well, but you're still ahead of me.
No, it's just funny. What are the fucking odds?
I finished the weekend with 25 points. You finished the weekend with 10 points. And then, so as of right now, so you can do the math here. Well, I guess you have 35 points.
Okay.
Because you got 20 points with George in Bahrain. That was a good haul for you.
Yeah, it was.
You got 5 points in Saudi for Lewis, and you got 10 points in Australia for Max. I got 1 point in Bahrain for Nico, 2 points in Saudi for Yuki, and then 25 for Charles. So I only have 28 points. So I'm still down by a few, but I made a good comeback this week.
I like this way. I think this is a more fun way to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's better, you know.
I agree. So with that being said, Hannah, please go ahead and draw for Japan.
I'm drawing for Japan.
She cannot get Max.
Drum roll, please. Daniel.
Oh.
I'm scared. Well, Dan.
Now or never, babe.
Get it together. All right, so.
Daniel. This is the one weekend I'll be rooting for Hannah to get some points.
True.
Or I'll be happy if she gets points.
The drama's killing me.
Valtteri.
Oh, that sucks. But maybe it won't. Honestly, I'm really glad we got shitty picks on the same day. Because last week, it was like, okay, cool.
Both got good. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Well, our two Aussies.
Cool. Yeah. How apropos.
Yeah.
Coming off the Australia GP, yeah, where they both did trash.
We'll be lucky.
Not trash.
We'll be genuinely lucky if either of us get 1 point this
weekend. That's so true. That's fun.
Yeah.
Like, that'll be fun.
We will
make
not...
the worst best man win.
Yay.
Woo!
Just how we want it to be. Okay, let me just run through some, see if anyone has any questions for us or comments. If you don't know, if you didn't see it on social media, if you want to leave us a question or comment or concern or something following the race, you can join our FanAmp channel. It's an app that you can download. The link is in our bio, and we have a little channel called Pod Ideas. Mm-hmm. And so you can leave them.
It's free to use. It's a fun time. There's lots of people in there chit-chatting.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. A lot of people. So asking about how dangerous it was that, you know, George's car is like in the middle of the track. The medical car is in the middle of the track.
Incredibly dangerous.
No red flag. And I don't know.
I feel like there needs to be in the way that NASCAR, like, when we're, because I think the concern, the reason they didn't red flag it is because they would have had to restart the race, correct?
Right.
Okay. Fine. I can understand why they wouldn't want to do that given the amount of time, but we're talking about lives, like human beings who are in an unsafe position. We've got to figure out what the exception to that
rule
is.
I think the best rule is if there's a red flag on the final lap, the race ends. And that might screw, somebody might be right there about to pass somebody, but okay,
but someone remains alive.
Too bad,
and that's important.
And those instances, I mean, the likelihood of people. Well, for example, I mean, I think about. Do you remember Brazil last year? Checo and Fernando right at the line,
mm-hmm.
and Fernando beats Checo for the podium. Like, you might miss out on something like that. But again, what's the likelihood of there being a red flag DNF on the final lap?
Yeah.
Low, hopefully, you know. So it seems like that's the best course of action.
It was really scary.
It was not good. How did Gunther get chosen to do the interviews?
I don't know, but I'm glad he did. Because he's been doing stuff for Sky Sports Germany, right? Or did I make that up?
I think so. Yeah.
So I think now he's part of the roster, I guess. So,
yeah. What do we think is going to happen to Carlos? Like, where do we think he's going to go?
Team-wise?
Yeah.
I'm like, up, I guess. I genuinely don't even have a theory at this point. I really have no idea.
I obviously heard that he's on, I think I just heard it, that he is on Red Bull's shortlist, you know?
Okay.
And I mean, it makes sense. Obviously, he's a great driver and he does a great job, but I wonder about that relationship. Like,
I don't think Red Bull's on his shortlist.
Oh, for Carlos, you're
I just
saying.
Wonder. Like, I don't know. I think that's part of it where I say I don't have theories. Like, it makes
we
sense.
We don't know the relationship.
Red
dynamics.
Bull would be interested, but like, I don't know if Carlos is interested in going to Red Bull.
Yes, yes, yes.
I guess I know. I just said I don't really have any theories. I guess at present, Mercedes seems like it would make maybe sense, but I don't know.
Yeah, Mercedes could be interesting. Again, like, a lot to kind of figure out and evaluate and. I think there's also a lot of there has to be a consideration of the other driver on the team too. And like, I'm sure, for example, Max has probably a lot of say as to who his teammate is.
I'm sure
and
he does.
He could probably veto somebody if he wanted to. Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm not saying he would veto Carlos. I don't know, but I just, it'd be an interesting thing to.
Yeah. Evaluate. I also like just, there's been so much back and forth with, like, I feel like it being the second driver has been really frustrating for Carlos in a lot of ways. And so I wonder, like, I don't know if him going to Red Bull, like, would be good for his psyche. because he's always going to be driver number two.
Yeah, I mean, you could maybe say Aston Martin would be a good place.
Maybe. But again, it's incredibly dependent on someone moving from that seat.
Fernando, though.
Yeah, I know. But where is he going?
Yeah. Mercedes. I don't know. Again, yeah, there's
I can't even imagine.
Lots of dominoes that have to fall. There's so many different, I mean, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, it's going to be a silly, silly season.
And also, I think we said this 1,000 times, but like, there's a lot of time left for things to fall into place. And
totally.
I don't know that anyone's in any big hurry to make any sudden moves. Like, yeah. I think yes, you can, there's a lot to gather from three races, but let's go back to last year.
It's like, early.
Checo won a couple races early and then he really struggled at the back half. Like, things can ebb and flow. So, we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
Yeah.
We don't have any plans as of right now. We don't know what our episode is going to be next week. We don't know like what we want to, we haven't figured out because it's a non-race weekend. But if anyone has any like fun ideas for an episode, let us know. There might be so much news and whatever that.
Yeah, it feels.
Yeah, we have stuff to talk about anyway. But always let us know what you think. Anything else we want to go over or discuss before we call it a day?
I don't believe so, but I am proud at the time we've been able to
crush it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, make sure to watch our Australia pyramid ranking that will come out tomorrow. So if you're looking for more content, please watch that as well. It's only on YouTube and we'd appreciate your viewership. Anything else?
No, we love you all.
All right.
Thanks for being here.
See you next week. Enchanté.